Jesus is both the foundation and the capstone of his church. Everything in the church is built upon the foundation of Jesus. And in his church, we are, as Craig just read for us, living stones and holy priests. So what does that mean? Jesus is the foundation and the capstone, and we're living stones and holy priests. There is a lot of meat in here, Craig. You're exactly right. Jesus is the foundation of the church. If you go back to Matthew's gospel, there is this time, and when Ben was baptized a few weeks ago, we asked him, we brought this up. I said, you know, Ben, there was this time when Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And he got different answers. They said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. And still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But then the real question came from Jesus. He said, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you are Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said then, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. Of course, Peter's name means stone, but not a big rock. And on this rock I will build my church. So there was some confusion here. I don't know how soon it started, but probably not long after, some people started to say that, well, maybe Peter is the foundation on which Jesus is going to build his church. Now, we know that on the day of Pentecost, Peter gave that moving sermon enabled by the Holy Spirit that led thousands to be baptized. But Peter, while he was such a big part in preaching the gospel and beginning the church, Peter is not the foundation of the church. And he is going to tell us that. He is telling us that in his own words today. He says Jesus is the living stone, capital L and S, living stone. And he was rejected by men, just as the scripture predicted. But then that living stone became the cornerstone. He was chosen by God for great honor. He goes back and he quotes Isaiah 28:16. This verse, Isaiah 28:16, is quoted in several places in the Gospels and in the New Testament. Jesus talked about it himself. He says, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. If we put our hope and our faith in that real foundation and in that cornerstone, we will never be disappointed. We will never be disgraced. We may have troubles on this earth, but when a time comes, we will be honored. So, cornerstone. What is a cornerstone? The cornerstone and a foundation are maybe a little different to us in the way we construct things these days. We build things like this building has a solid concrete foundation, and that's what, you know, is our solid foundation. But in their building techniques, they had a foundation, but they also had this cornerstone. Nowadays, if a building has a cornerstone in our culture, it's usually symbolic and for architectural purposes. It'll have the founding date and things like that, and it might even be a time capsule. But in that day, when they laid a cornerstone as part of the foundation, it was the reference point for everything that would follow in the building of that structure. It was sometimes a huge stone, like the pyramid type stones that would take a massive amount of effort to move and to put into place. It was solid and dependable, extremely difficult to move. And once it was put into place, you didn't have to worry about it getting shifted by acts of nature and that sort of thing. It was the reference point, the measuring point for everything that was to follow after that. Once that cornerstone was laid, everything that came after it would be put and placed in that building in relation to that cornerstone. I worked for a construction company going through college, and we had a reference point on a building that we were building. It was something had to be immovable, something that wasn't going to change, and there was a telephone pole right next to the building we were building, and on that pole there was a mark. And every time we put up a wall or what, we had to go to that reference point to begin, and that was the elevation mark, and we would measure off of that. Everything had to be put in place from that thing. Jesus is that cornerstone. Everything that we believe, we go back to him. He is the pattern that we follow, and we don't go back and look at somebody else who followed him, because if you go along the way, things can degrade. We go back to the source, the foundation, which is Jesus. He is the source and the origin of everything that we believe. He is the cornerstone and the foundation of our church, not Peter. Peter is telling us himself that he is not the foundation, but that Jesus is. And in Acts chapter 4, he says it there again. Jesus is the one referred to in scriptures where it says, "The stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone." So over and over, Peter's telling us, I'm not the foundation of the church. Jesus is. But the word in your scripture, and you may have different versions, the word for cornerstone is sometimes also translated as capstone. Now, a cornerstone and a capstone were two very different parts of the structure, both very integral and very important. The cornerstone would be the foundation that everything was based on and a solid footing. As they would build these stones up, especially in an archway, either if it was a doorway or a large archway that would support the rest of the building, they would stack these stones, and then as they got taller, they would begin to get closer and closer, and at the very end, they would cut a stone that was perfectly measured and perfectly fit to go into place, and it would lock all of the other stones into place. Without that capstone, everything else would fall apart. So Peter is telling us here, and if it just says cornerstone in all of your translation of this passage today, write capstone out there somewhere too, because capstone is so important. And the word is interchangeable, and I think he is using both. The NIV that I have says capstone in one place because it's telling us Jesus is our foundation. He's also our capstone. Everything that we do and believe and have in our brotherhood and fellowship as a church is based on him, and he holds it all together as the capstone. If you take Jesus out of the church, out of our fellowship, everything else falls apart. It crumbles. The capstone was so integral to holding everything together. And in Colossians, Paul says that Jesus holds all things together. Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Not just in the church, but in creation. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. The foundation was laid first and the capstone last. And Jesus' words in Revelation chapter 22, toward the very end of your Bibles, he said this, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." He's talking there in a really big sense of the world and creation, but it's also when it comes to the church as well. He is our beginning, he is our end, and everything in between is up to us. He leaves us and works in us. So Jesus talked about this same scripture in Matthew chapter 21. He tells the story of the parable about the landowner. And when he gets to the end and he wants them to see the moral of the story, he says, have you ever read in Scripture, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone? And here yours may say capstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it's wonderful to see. And then verse 43 of Matthew chapter 21, he goes on, he said, "But I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you, and it will be given to a nation that will produce the proper fruit." This is where the cornerstone and the capstone come into play in the same sentence. "Anyone who stumbles over that stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone that it falls on." Now, a cornerstone or a foundation, if I fell on this foundation right here, I'd probably break something. It would certainly hurt. As you took a clay jar and you threw it onto the stone, you dash it on the foundation, it would shatter. And that's one way Jesus, we know in reading in other places, that Jesus would be a stumbling block to people. They couldn't get over the fact that why would God offer himself to die? Why would he allow himself to be crucified like that? The last part says, the stone will crush anyone it falls on. That would be the capstone. The part from above, if you try to remove it, it's going to fall and it's going to crush you. For people who reject Jesus, they are crushed by that capstone. Jesus, as we've seen in John's gospel, said, the very words I have spoken will judge you. If you deny him, turn him down, and refuse him, that stone will be what crushes you. So Jesus is the foundation of our church, of the church universal, of every church that follows him. Our leaders will be the first to tell you that they lead this flock, but Jesus leads them. Jesus is his church and not theirs. So while we are in this church, we are built on this foundation. He is our capstone. Peter's telling us in this section that we are living stones in that church. I love this imagery. We are living stones in what he is building. There was a time when God would dwell among his people through either the tabernacle that was portable and traveled, or more permanently, in the temple that Solomon built for the people. That was the place where God's presence would come among the people. But now, Peter is telling us that God is building a spiritual house, and it is a present tense, ongoing kind of thing. He says, you are being built. You are living stones in this structure. You're not immovable stones in some physical wall. You are living stones in a spiritual structure. And that's very important, because stones in a wall don't move, we hope, right? Unless you live in Jericho and people march around your town for a while and you got problems. But the stones in this living wall, this spiritual house that we live in, we are called to go out. Paul talks about this too in Ephesians chapter 2. You are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house, he says, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Now you may think, whoa, wait a minute. I thought Jesus was the foundation. Who did the apostles and the prophets point to? They pointed to Jesus. So together we are his house. We are built on the foundation, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. He's not living in a tabernacle or in some physical stone temple nowadays. He is living in us by the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. And when we are being fitted together like living stones, what did the stonemason do with those stones to fit them into place? He would chisel on them. Would work on that stone, remove the rough edges. And boy, we've got rough edges that the Savior and the Spirit work on, and they remove from our lives. And sometimes it's because we go through difficult times, but those can rub off, those work off those rough edges. That's what the stonemason does to fit us into his spiritual house and make us work in his house. If we are God's spiritual house, we are living stones in that. And in it, he says, we are holy priests. Some of your translations will say a royal priesthood. We are the priests. Jesus is our high priest that is talked about all through Hebrews. But we are the priests of the temple. So what do priests in the temple do? Well, we have several things that we are called to do as his priests. Number one, we represent Christ as his ambassadors. The priest for the people was the one who would offer up sacrifices. The high priest would offer, and then the priest would come in and offer sacrifice for their own sin, then for the people. We represent Christ as his ambassadors, not just in this building when we come together here a couple of times a week, but when we are out there. We are living stones, mobile, moving about, not static, not dead, but alive, and representing him. We are his spiritual house, his temple, the church. So we show Jesus Christ to the world. Just like we've been reading through John. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am here to show you what the Father is, to mirror him. Our job as representatives of Jesus here on this earth is to show people Jesus. When they look at you and when they look at me, hopefully they see some Jesus and not just the human, mortal person who is fallible, but they can see some of Jesus, just as Jesus showed the Father to the world. We make Jesus real to people, not just some person in a book, But we make him real in the sense that we can tell him what he has done in our lives and what he can do in theirs. We should model his behavior. We should show his love. And we should show the kind of mercy that he talked about so much in his teachings. I don't care so much about your sacrifice as I do about your mercy, he would say. And we should be channels of his grace. We have received the grace that he has given us, and we should show it to other people as well and give them an idea of what that is like. And Paul said, or Peter says here in verse 9, show the goodness of God in your life. Praise his name. You can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. And so live like you're living in that wonderful light and represent him well. As the priest, we offer sacrifices, but if we don't offer animal sacrifices, we don't offer sacrifices for our sins, because Jesus did that once and for all, and there's no need to do it again. So Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. And the writer of Hebrews said in chapter 13, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God. So when we come together and sing this morning, we are offering sacrifices of continual praise. But it doesn't stop when we leave here. We praise him everywhere we go. We praise him for the rain that we've received, and we praise him when we don't get the rain, because we just acknowledge our dependence upon him, as Justin talked about. We are proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. That's what the Hebrew writer says. These are the sacrifices that please God. So we are God's holy living stones in his holy and spiritual house. We build this house on his foundation, the foundation of Jesus. He is also the capstone, and we are in between. There was a time when God would dwell among his people in the tabernacle or the temple, but Jesus changed all that. In both the tabernacle and the temple, the priests would offer their sacrifices. Jesus changed all that. We are both the temple and the priests and the sacrifice that is being offered. He built a church. And we, as individual people and souls that are the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, come together, and together we make up this dwelling place of God called the church. We offer up our sacrifices, and we represent him to the world. And that's why we are here. We come and we gather around this table this morning to acknowledge that as well. Will you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for the church that Jesus built. We're thankful, Father, that he is the foundation and the capstone, because if we try to build it on anything other than that foundation, we know it's going to crumble. The wise man builds his house on the rock, as Jesus told us. We also know, Father, that he is the capstone. He is our beginning and our end. He holds all things together that he has created, including his church. So never, Father, let us lose sight and focus on the fact that Jesus is the reason we are here, that you have created us and called us to be living stones in your holy spiritual house. Help us, Father, to represent you well in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.